federal government's long-awaited overhaul of environmental approvals will be introduced to Parliament today, but passage for the bills could be treacherous, with the Coalition calling it a handbrake on investment and the Greens arguing that it weakens environmental protection. Murray Watt is the Federal Minister for Environment and Water and joins me in our Parliament House studio this morning. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
G'day, Sally. Good to be with you.
Good to have you here. This latest reform to the country's environment laws comes after two failed attempts in the past 5 years. How confident are you that you can get the job done?
I'm very confident, Sally, that we can pass these reforms. The real question is who with and how soon. You're right, this has been a very long journey. In fact, today it's 5 years to the day since Graham Samuel handed down his review to then Environment Minister Susan Lee. And what has been happening ever since is that we've been going around and round in circles. So I think the broader community, the business community, and anyone who cares about our environment recognises that after all of those attempts to get this done, it really is now or never. If we ever want to pass these reforms, we've got to get moving with them. We can't let this go around in circles for five more years, because every time we wait and every time we get delayed, we see the environment suffer and we see really important housing, renewables and other projects get held up in red tape.
How do your draft laws define a project with unacceptable impact on the environment, which would trigger immediate refusal?
Yeah, so as with much of the bill, this comes directly out of a recommendation from Graham Samuel, where he said that we needed a strong definition in the legislation to set out what kind of impacts on the environment would be simply unacceptable and therefore be rejected. The definition relates to each of the matters of national environmental significance that the Commonwealth Government regulates. And what it comes down to is, for example, an action that would seriously impair the viability of a species, or it would undertake action that would result in irreplaceable damage to the environment. So the sorts of examples that I've been giving are if someone wanted to mine under Uluru, or if someone wanted to clear habitat in a way that was going to drive a species to extinction, I think most Australians would accept that those kind of activities simply should not occur. So it's a way of protecting our environment from unacceptable actions, but it's also really important for business as well, because you may have heard a lot of business figures say that they want quick yeses and quick noes. This allows business to know upfront what sort of projects are likely to get a quick no, and they shouldn't even bother racking up the millions of dollars and time that's involved in making an application.
What if there are competing interests? Say it's part of our critical minerals priorities.
Well, every project would be assessed on its own merits. And whether we're talking about a critical minerals mine or a processing plant or a wind farm or a housing development, what we need to do is to be able to assess whether it would have those sorts of impacts that are simply unacceptable. If the answer is yes, and it's the kind of project where you simply cannot avoid or minimise those environmental impacts. Obviously, if a project can demonstrate that it can avoid or minimise those impacts, then it would proceed through a full assessment under the Act. But this is a way of quickly saying no to projects that are just completely unacceptable.
These changes would give you as Minister the power to override some environmental rules if a project is deemed to be in the national interest. Are you comfortable in giving that power to the opposition if they return to government?
Yeah, I mean, what we've tried to do all along here is deliver on the recommendations of Graham Samuel. And again, this was an explicit recommendation of his that governments of the day should, in very rare circumstances, have the ability, when something is in the national interest, to approve a project proceeding, even if it doesn't meet the usual environmental standards. What we've said in the bill is to try to give a flavour of the types of projects that we're talking about would be most likely defence or security projects, actions that may be undertaken in responding to a natural disaster. We have made the point that that should be rarely used, that there's got to be transparency with the Minister of the day issuing a statement of reasons justifying why they've done that. And just to be clear, that decision to approve a project in the national interest would occur after a full assessment was done.
How much discretion will you as Minister have in adhering to environmental standards? Will these laws require you to abide by them or just consider them?
Well, the way the standards work is that they are to be considered by decision makers, whether that be me or delegates within my department.
So you're not held to them?
No, the intention really is strong guidance, regulatory guidance that needs to be taken into account. So the way it would work under the new laws is that someone makes an application, there are legislative conditions that they've got to meet, such as the unacceptable impact, and then informing a decision I, as the minister, or a departmental or EPA delegate would need to refer to those standards to ensure that they are met. So if a project doesn't meet those standards, it needs to be rejected and people wouldn't have an opportunity to appeal that decision if they weren't.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest in the studio is the Minister for the Environment and Water, Murray Watt. Both the Coalition and Greens have criticised aspects of the bill that they've seen. Why haven't you got either side on board after working on the drafting for so long?
Well, it's not that common, Sally, that a bill that's this complex and controversial that you have a deal before it's even introduced into the parliament. I'd love to be a magician, but I'm not quite that. We will be introducing the bill to the House of Reps today. And as you would be aware, I've undertaken several meetings with each of the Coalition and the Greens. I think I'm approaching 100 meetings with them, stakeholders and others. So it's been widely consulted. And look, I think at this stage of the debate, it wouldn't surprise anyone to hear both the Coalition and the Greens and the Greens trying to extract consensus. What I'm hearing from the Coalition is that this is too good for business, for the environment. I'm hearing from the Greens it's too good for business. It sounds to me like we've got the balance right, but of course we're open to hearing what changes should be made.
What aspects of the bill are not up for negotiation, or is everything on the table?
Well, to me, it comes down to the principles that are underpinning this legislation rather than the detail. And the principles have always been delivering a bill that is consistent broadly with the Samuel Review, given that was widely supported by stakeholders at the time, that it does deliver a real gain for both the environment and for business. And I guess what we're hearing from the Coalition and the Greens at the moment is that one side wants more for business and one side wants more for the environment. But the secret sauce of Graham Samuel's report was that he put forward a balanced package that delivered wins for both the environment and business. So in weighing up what amendments people are seeking, I want to make sure that we come through this debate with a bill that genuinely does deliver real improvements for the environment and also for business. I would say, I think that that's what the current bill does. You know, there's wins for the environment, new national environmental standards, reforms of offsets, more penalties. There's wins for business with streamlining approvals. But if people have got suggestions about making it better, I'm all ears.
You've ruled out a climate trigger. Would you give the same clarity that you would not change existing exemptions for native forest logging?
So what our intention here, as we've said since my predecessor, Tanya Plibersek, began work on this package, is that we would apply the national environmental standards to regional forestry agreements under which native forestry occurs. That was the recommendation from Graham Samuel. So that's the direction we're intending to go. I am aware that some of the environment groups are also seeking removal of exemptions when it comes to agricultural land clearing. There's not anything in the bill on that front, mainly because my priority has been to focus on delivering those recommendations from Graham Samuel.
Are you still aiming to get this bill passed before the end of the year?
Yes, I certainly am. As I said at the beginning, Sally, every day we wait, we see the environment go backwards and we see houses, renewables and other projects getting held up in delays. So I think there's a strong national interest in getting these reforms passed as quickly as possible, and I'll be doing everything I can to make that happen this year.
Murray Watt, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Sally.